The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ray Allen. Ray, engineering and producing the show. He does such a great job for us here on the Buckmaster Show, and we welcome you to the program on this 11th day of July 2018. I feel fortunate that we didn't get hammered with that big rainstorm in the central foothills, that parts of Oro Valley and Marana, my goodness, I saw some things on Facebook. Some people were saying their backyard rain gauge was showing like over 2 inches. In some cases, somebody was saying like 2.5 to almost 3 inches. And it came down, I guess, like within an hour or so. So it was a big time storm. So hopefully you didn't have any damage out there on your property. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Of course, have our worldwide live listening. My website has the pretty much every show we have done since January 2011. So there is certainly a lot of archival material on my website. 790-2040, if you'd like to join us in the conversation. We're going to talk with Mike Hammond, talk with Mr. Hammond, the first segment about transportation. After all, he is on the State Transportation Board representing Pima County in planning and the development of Arizona's transportation network. It's a six-year term that the seven board members serve on that transportation board. Mr. Hammond, in the second segment, we'll talk about his other area of expertise. Not that, Mike, you only have two areas of expertise. First of all, good to see you, sir.
Good to be here.
Yeah, I mean, you have more than two areas, but certainly you've been in the commercial real estate business a long time, since 1978. Mr. Hammond is president, founder, and managing shareholder of Cushman and Wakefield PICOR, which is an independent commercial real estate brokerage and management firm based here in Tucson. So lots to talk about. Let's begin with the transportation picture. So I guess we have now a five-year construction plan that's been released?
Yes, Bill. Every year the board approves a rolling five-year plan. So we just in Globe, Arizona last month approved the upcoming five-year plan.
Well, let's look at some of your marquee projects. What's at the top of the list that people probably, a project certainly here in Southern Arizona that would be important?
Well, the big vote at that meeting was for the full funding of SR 189, which is the connector from I-19 to the port of Mariposa going into Mexico. It's a 3.5-mile stretch. And they approved the full build-out, which is a $134 million project. It is the biggest project in the budget for the next 2 years.
That area needed some work, right?
Yes. I forget the number of trucks. I think it's around 8,000 trucks a day.
Wow.
Go in and out of that port.
That puts a huge strain on the pavement.
Actually, that seems a little high. It might be a month.
Yeah. Well, whatever it is.
It's a lot of trucks.
It's a lot of trucks.
And during produce season, those trucks on the south side of the border will back up 3 and 4 miles. So the federal government, a number of years ago, put $250 million into the actual port. But the stretch from the port to the freeway was not part of that budget. And so there's a large backup of trucks trying to get onto the freeway and off the freeway. And also they cross in front of the entrance to the high school. So there's high school students coming in and out all day in cars and competing with the produce trucks coming in and out of the out of Mexico. So this project will do a flyover north and south from the freeway to State Route 189 and actually pass over the high school connector into Mariposa Road, so it'll alleviate that danger and also allow the trucks to smoothly come out of Mexico and enter into our freeway system and head north into the United States.
I didn't realize, Mike Hammond, but the Mariposa port of entry is one of the busiest land ports in the United States.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize that 80% of the winter vegetables that we get in the United States come through that port of entry. It is absolutely critical to the winter produce and having products on your table that aren't seasonal within the United States that come up from Mexico.
So that project will be $134 million.
Yeah.
That's huge. When does that start?
It's under design right now,
uh-huh.
And the first phase will start later in 2019. It was originally only programmed for a half build-out, a $64 million project, but there was a really good public partnership between the city of Nogales, a federal grant of $25 million. Governor Ducey put $25 million in, and then the state highway user funds, gas tax, is putting in another $64 million. So that project will start next year. It's a two-year project. It's going to be a great investment for Southern Arizona, a lot of jobs, and a great infrastructure investment that'll keep on giving year in, year out.
All right, I'm looking at the list for Pima County. There's five projects three of the four involved I-10. You got Ina Road to Ruthroff Road. That's a $109 million project. That's a huge project.
Yeah, much of the money being spent in those projects comes from the half-a-cent sales tax that the Pima County voters approved. So ADOT administers those funds, but much of the money actually comes from...
Are those the RTA?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for example, the entire, about 90% of the Ina Road build-out, which is $220 million. Almost 90% of that is RTA money.
Was there any talk about the Interstate 10 during your recent meeting in Globe about that area on the Native American Indian Reservation?
Yeah, a good
that
question.
That is an area that I just hate that part of the drive up to Phoenix.
Well,
I don't think it's safe either, actually, but anyway.
I wish I had better news for you.
Yeah.
You know, the two stretches, the one at Picacho
yes.
and then the one at
I-8,
I-10.
The one at Picacho is not my favorite either.
Both those are under construction. Those two projects, the widenings at Picacho and at I-10, I-8 up to Florence Boulevard, are under construction right now.
So are they? Okay.
The stretch that is problematic is the stretch, the 20-mile stretch from Wild Horse Pass at the north, south to, I think, Sacatone, Florence entrance.
Mm-hmm.
There's some agreements that need to be reached with the Indian Nation there that, for reasons I won't go into, have not been reached at this point. But I will tell you, and I guess this is kind of a good news.
Mm-hmm.
In the 10-year plan,
yeah,
it's in the 10th year.
Oh.
So I don't think you'll see that road start construction, but it is in the planning process, and it did make the 10-year plan.
Because that, Mike, that 20-mile stretch is a problem.
Yeah, the ADOT did try to address that stretch about 10 years ago, but it got politically tied into the South Mountain Freeway, which goes along the northern boundary of that Indian Nation's property, and they didn't want that to happen, and it got complicated trying to negotiate both agreements at the same time. So ADOT backburnered this stretch to get the South Mountain Freeway stretch approved and done. It's under construction now; should be done next year. And there's a lot of even within the Indian Nation. Everybody realizes that stretch has to be. It's the last link. Mm-hmm. Really between Tucson and Phoenix.
And as far as any extra lanes being added, is that part of the plan on I-10?
Oh, absolutely. There'll be a third lane. And
there'll
probably
be
even a fourth lane as you get up closer to Wild Horse Pass.
Mm-hmm. But the collaboration with there's a lot of collaboration needed because you're dealing with sovereign nations.
Absolutely.
This yeah.
And it's a very expensive project. I think the estimate I heard is about $10 million a mile. to do that project.
790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. We're going to switch gears here after our break with Mike Hammond, and we're going to talk about the commercial real estate scene. A couple of visits ago, Mike was sharing with us that he had never seen in his many years here in town a better year for commercial real estate than last year. Didn't you say something like that, Mike?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, since 2008, when the market collapsed, we've been seeing, but it was last year where it really got back to some normalcy.
All right. We'll continue our conversation with Mike Hammond after I tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. Mike, do you have any idea what a Danish Kringle is?
Well, living in Germany, I think I do. Sounds German.
Yeah, it's actually a delicious pastry. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner Steve, he gets up very early, of course, with his team of bakers. Right now would be a great time to go by Mona's, have a sandwich on that great bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. You can go to my website, and I urge you to do so. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and a link to all of the fine partners that we have here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday during the Noon Hour, a newsmaker interview with Richard Elias. Mr. Elias is the chair of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Also, what's going on with this increase in valley fever cases? Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice, worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. My in-studio guest is Mike Hammond. Mike is the Pima County representative on the Arizona Department of Transportation Board. We're going to talk with him about commercial real estate in a minute, but first, Sharon has called us at 790-2040, wants to talk about a crosstown freeway. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, Bill. Yes, it's something that we talk a lot about. So many people think that that would be a great idea. We need one badly, and my personal opinion is that maybe we could save a lot of money because our roads wouldn't get so beat up, and we could, you know, take care of that. I know that you travel around.
I do, yeah.
We live in Green Valley, and it's becoming a nightmare to go into Tucson. Mm-hmm. We're from California, and it's bringing back memories.
Okay, Sharon, I'm going to let Mike address your concerns, and you can listen on the air. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, the issue of the crosstown freeway, this is my 42nd year in Tucson, my 40th year in real estate, and I believe it's been voted on three times mm-hmm. over the last 40 years, and frankly, the voters didn't just say no, they overwhelmingly said, no, I'm totally with you on that need, but that would be something, for example, when the half-a-cent sales tax comes up for renewal.
Right.
There's going to be a lot of discussion on what projects would be in that plan, and I'm sure the issue of a crosstown connector. The word freeway, we changed the name to Parkway
in the last vote.
To try to make it more palatable. Mm-hmm. I do believe there's still the right-of-way.
Yeah.
For that. Historically, it was going to come off around Grant and Tankerville right there.
Right,
and then
connect. And also close to River Road.
Yeah,
the
section on the west side of the freeway, or the west side of Oracle, I believe, is part of that original.
Really,
part of
that original
Parkway.
Because I can remember when I came to town, it would have been 1988. When I came to town, there were all those bumper stickers, keep River Road kinky and all things like that. You know, don't touch River Road.
Well, The irony would be if that crosstown freeway had been built, River Road would probably still be one lane and kinky.
Yeah. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about commercial real estate. Your organization, PICOR, puts out something called PICOR Connect. This is a report. How does the report look for, say, we're kind of the mid-year point here. How does this year look so far?
It's going to be another very good year for Tucson businesses. And one of our largest divisions is industrial, which is thousands or I mean, we probably manage 1,000 small businesses in some of these business parks that we have under management, and they're all doing well. Some of them are struggling a little bit on getting the employees they need, but the economy, because housing is coming back, that was the missing component in the last 10 years. Housing just totally disappeared. New construction and housing totally disappeared in 2007, really, and it's just starting to come back, nowhere near pre-recession levels, but getting to the point where it's a healthy situation.
So at one point, we were at 12% vacancy rate in the industrial sector. That has pretty much been cut in half, hasn't it?
Yeah, and there's a word we use in commercial real estate called functional obsolescence. These are old buildings that really, in some instances, ought to be torn down and repositioned. So if you take out that kind of product in the industrial sector, we are almost fully leased up.
So if you take out some some buildings that may be just like, we've all seen them around town, post-World War II, are kind of being held together with whatever. If you take that out of the mix, you're saying we're very close to.
Yeah, you would have to. There's some big vacancies
like
the Lisa Frank building and Pella. These are 400,000 square foot buildings. If you take that out of the mix, someone's going to have to start constructing new facilities for businesses if we're going to continue to have a supply to meet the demand.
The report said that the three industries driving the market are mining, aerospace and defense, and logistics and transportation. What can you add to that?
Well, the mining industry has probably been quietly the industry over the last 10 years that has really, really added jobs.
That's under the radar.
Yeah, they don't get a lot of mileage advertising the fact they want to build a mine, but because I think, that news gets out there anyway. But mining is at one point in time was kind of a dirty word. With Caterpillar coming into our community, the Rosemont mine, we'll see if that happens. I know that's still very controversial. Mm-hmm. And then there's a new mine in the Patagonia Mountains that Arizona Mining is in the planning stage. Plus, the price of copper is held up, and also the production savings from automation. The price of a pound of copper now can go pretty low before a mine would close at this point. Their production costs are very low.
Mike Hammond, we had Amazon. That was a big story, announcing plans to build it's a huge facility, isn't it? 885,000 square feet.
Yeah, only the Target fulfillment center is bigger than this. So it's just a great win for Tucson. These are highly automated for a facility of that size. I think their maximum employment might be 1,000, but for a facility of that size, you would usually find more people. And it's going to be very highly automated. I believe it's 50-foot clear height. It's a very, very tall building, and all of the stacking and picking of product is going to be done by automation.
So industrial space is at a premium, pretty much, then, huh?
Well, yes. Our lease rates have to go up a little bit to be able to build, because construction prices right now are higher than the cost of how that translates into a rent. The rents need to go up a little bit to justify the increased cost of new construction.
Where's the growth in the commercial sector? Apartments? Are we going to see some apartments being built?
Well, there's a high demand because there's not a huge demand for single-family homes for folks under 40. They prefer a higher end, whether it's a condominium or a high-end apartment. They seem to be favoring that over buying single-family homes. But even then, there's single-family home demand also. Housing is just where we've got more in migration from other states, and that should accelerate as we recover from post-recession doldrums. And so I think you're going to see housing, whether it's multifamily or new construction, continue at a pretty robust rate.
What can you say about downtown?
What can't you say about downtown? It's been remarkable. I can remember when I was on one of the boards at early Rio Nuevo boards, you'd come out of that office at 8 o'clock at night on a Tuesday, and you'd be the only one on the streets and worry about your walk from there to the parking. But it's absolutely amazing. If you haven't been downtown, you're really missing a fun time.
So the downtown housing, that component has lagged, and rightly so, because it's been kind of the restaurant scene drove the initial early development downtown. Now we're getting hotels downtown. So I would think that the next piece is housing.
Yeah, absolutely. And not affordable. There's plenty of affordable housing downtown, and market rate housing. The Urban Land Institute did a study years ago on successful downtowns, and something like 10 to 12% of a community's most expensive housing is downtown in the most successful downtowns, whether it's Chicago or Seattle or San Francisco. So we do need more market rate housing, but it is coming. And restaurants, for example, they need a lunch trade and a dinner trade, or a breakfast and a lunch. They need two meals. And without a living population downtown, the restaurants will struggle. So that's all changing. Dynamics are very positive.
The election in Mexico, and you do a lot of business in Sonora. Are you kind of at a wait and see with that election, the change in leadership?
Yeah, absolutely. My Mexican friends tell me that they're cautiously optimistic. This gentleman, regardless of his politics, has a reputation of being honest, and Mexico needs a very strong message from the top to overcome some of the corruption that's systemic in their country. So there's cautious optimism. He is on the left side, mm-hmm. but he's moved towards the center as he's aged, and so there's some optimism that if he stays honest and he doesn't throw business under the bus with any kind of crazy nationalization concepts, that he'll be a good president. So there's some excitement right now, but the honeymoon phase is still, we're still in that, and we'll see how it plays out.
The amazing thing is the power that he has amassed in all the legislative offices around the different states of Mexico.
Yeah, his party plus the couple of alliances he needed to make. He controls both the Congress and the Senate. So we're going to see a very different Mexico going forward.
All right, Mike Hammond, thank you very much. Mr. Hammond, president, founder, managing shareholder of Cushman and Wakefield Pie Corps, here, based here in Tucson. He's also the Pima County representative on the 7-member board, State Transportation Board. Always a pleasure, Mike, catching up with you and what you're doing in your very busy life. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. Coming up next, Wendy Rogers, Republican running for Congress in that sprawling, huge CD1 district. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield Pie Corps is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Pie Corps offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at piecorps.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's piecorps.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and noble hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster on The Voice, KVOI, 1030 on the AM dial, live listening at kvoi.com, and of course on my website, buckmastershow.com. I want to thank one of our fine sponsors, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. These are exciting times over on the 13-acre site at Green Things, because Zocalo is now over there, and Zocalo for years was over by Country Club and Broadway, all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Well, its new home is at Green Things. You can check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs and then buy some beautiful material from Mexico and Latin America. So it's a great place to visit now, Green Things. And of course, you can start your visit before you even go there by going to greenthingsaz.com. Let's welcome Wendy Rogers now to the Buckmaster Show. She is on our live line. Ms. Rogers, Republican candidate seeking election to the United States House of Representatives in the 1st Congressional District of Arizona. She is one of three candidates involved in that primary that will be coming up before you know it. In fact, early ballots will be going out in a couple of weeks. Wendy Rogers, how are you?
It's great to be on the show, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being with us. Tell me a little bit about why you think this is going to be the opportunity for you. I know you tried three previous times running for Congress. Why is this time different?
Well, first of all, public polling shows me way ahead, out in the lead. That poll was released today, and we've done an internal poll that's 3 weeks younger than that poll, which was just done yesterday and the day before, and I'm leading substantially in the Republican primary. So we do have that data point. I want to serve my country. And as many folks know, sometimes the first try doesn't work out. But this time, absolutely, we will win this. I was an early supporter of President Trump back in 2015. I introduced him to the crowd on just his second visit to Arizona when he was a presidential candidate. I've served my country before. As most of you know, I was privileged to have been one of the very first women pilots in the Air Force. I flew back in the day when women were constrained to fly heavy jets. I flew the C-141, and at that point, the only other aircraft available to women was the KC-135 tanker. So I flew for many years, served for 20 years as a military officer, fifth generation in my family. My husband, Hal, also served 20 years as an electrical engineer. Our son, George, the sixth generation to serve in the military, he was a Marine officer. You could say service is in my DNA, and I want to serve my country. Again, we have very few veterans in Congress today, fewer than 18%. Of congressional members have had any military service. This is why the VA is in shambles. This is why we have airplanes breaking, falling out of the sky, where they have to go to the boneyard at Davis-Monthan to get parts. That didn't happen when I was a pilot in the Air Force. And so we need more veterans in Congress. I do a lot of door-to-door work myself. I fly my own aircraft across this huge district, which covers 60% of Arizona. Yeah, I have a Cessna 182. I'll be taking off to St. John's tomorrow. I'll be in Oro Valley the next day. That enables me to reach out to the Navajo Nation. I was up there for the 4th of July in Kienta. I'm up there probably every few weeks with my aircraft. I fly into Window Rock, and we have great support now among Native Americans, essentially because my story is coincident with theirs. I'm a veteran. There are 9 Navajo Code Talkers left alive. When we were there over all of Memorial Weekend, we felt like we had come home because Native Americans, are many of them are veterans, and they love their country, and patriotism is a vibrant blood that flows through their veins, as it does for my husband and me. So we are not only going to win this in the to beat the Democrat in the general election against Tom O'Halloran, but we're leading substantially, and the lead is widening in the primary. So this is what I stand for. This is what is on people's mind. Build the wall. That is the absolute front and center issue in this district. End sanctuary cities, cut spending, defund Planned Parenthood, take care of our military veterans and rebuild our armed forces. I am also an unflinching supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a lifetime member of the NRA. I'm a lifetime member of Arizona Citizens Defense League. I'm a committed concealed carry weapons permit holder, as is my husband, as is our son and our daughter. And this is important that we absolutely stand up for the Second Amendment and not allow any of these little erosionary tactics to take hold. So, you know, with that said, we are winning. We are going to take this seat back. Trump won the district. People need to know.
Let me ask you, and it's Colonel Rogers, right? I think you were a full colonel.
Yes.
Yeah, Colonel Rogers.
Lieutenant Colonel.
Okay, Lieutenant Colonel. I'm just curious, when did you start flying, and where was that, by the way?
I started flying in Arizona at Williams Air Force Base, which is now Mesa Gateway Airport, back in 1980.
Wow.
To 81.
Uh-huh.
So I graduated with my wings in 1981. Went on to fly the C-141 mm-hmm. Starlifter for 5 years out of Southern California, Norton Air Force Base, San Bernardino. Flew worldwide missions, humanitarian airlift, troops. In fact, I, to this day, run into folks who served in the Army and the Marines, and sometimes they recognize me having flown them. It's really uncanny.
Yeah.
There were so few women. to me, it was a sea of men, of course, but... Yeah. There were so few of us. I was like the 85th woman to go through pilot training in the Air Force.
Wow.
And so, you know, we kind of stuck out.
Where'd you grow up? Where did you grow up and learn to fly?
I'm an Army brat.
Uh-huh.
My father was an Army officer. And we go back five generations, and all Army officers. My father retired. We moved to Michigan when I was 13-year-old. So I went to junior high and high school in Michigan, went to Michigan State University where I met my husband, Hal. We met in Air Force ROTC. And when my father proudly commissioned me as an officer in the Air Force, one of my friends asked him, well, are you disappointed she didn't go into the Army? And he just looked back and said, I'm just glad she got a job.
Let's see if we can take a quick call, Colonel Rogers. Matthew would like to speak with you. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you, Colonel Rogers, for your service. I remember flying that hop from I think it was Luke. I got on it to fly to Norton. My parents used to pick me up at Norton when I was in ROTC. So maybe I was on one of your planes at one time. The question for me is, could you discuss your, you know, defense with regards to NATO? Right now, the president's up there. How do you feel about the positions he's taking with regards to NATO? Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matt. I am with the president 100%. Sometimes we need to be firm with our friends. We need to be firm as parents. We need to be firm as friends. And NATO allies need to carry their fair share. I was assigned in Europe for 8 years. I ran the Bosnian airlift at a NATO base in Naples in 94, deployed for 6 months. And I will tell you that as a pilot overseas, I flew under two presidents. I flew under Clinton, and I flew under George H.W. Bush. And the reaction, as it flows all the way downhill from the commander-in-chief all the way down to the trenches, is markedly different under those two presidents. When I would fly into third world countries or developing countries, if I was flying under George H.W. Bush, we got taken care of. We got fuel. We got a de-icing truck. We got everything we needed, tooth sweet. When I flew under President Clinton, they would poke at us. They would prod us and not service us. And my last trip to Ukraine in 1996 to Kiev, we almost couldn't take off because they would not send a de-icing truck, even though we had radioed them with enough time, even though we had filed diplomatic landing clearance weeks in advance. It was an obvious little pinprick, an obvious little affront. So I will tell you, and people who've served in Afghanistan and dealt with warlords in deals and so forth will tell you the same thing. When you serve under a resolute commander-in-chief who is unflinching, who has a backbone, and lets our enemies know who they are, and is firm with our friends, everything goes much better for those of us who wear the uniform. So I would say to you that this president knows what he's doing. He is a master communicator. He is four steps ahead of the media, five steps ahead of Russia. And what he says goes, as far as I'm concerned. I am proud to serve under him as still a retired uniform, possible wearing pilot and officer. And we haven't had anyone like this in recent memory. I've had long talks with my adult children about this. They've never seen a president like this who is absolutely resolute and strong with our friends and our enemies.
All right. Wendy Rogers, nice talking with you. Where can people find out more about you?
WendyRogers.org. And the way you remember that is Wendy, like the hamburgers, W-E-N-D-Y, Rogers, like Roy Rogers, R-O-G-E-R-S.org, WendyRogers.org.
Okay.
Also on Facebook, Wendy Rogers, Arizona.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Colonel Rogers, and safe travels to you around the district. Thanks. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's a great place just to get away, hang out, do some hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, which is greening up so beautifully from all these rains we've been getting. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the many places to stay, some great ideas there, and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, celebrating 43 years.
Six.
46? Boy, I got to change my copy there, Mark. 46 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. He's the former chair of the NASA Small Bodies Assessment Group. Dr. Sykes is very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. He's had an amazing career. I'm giving you the full version today, giving you the full treatment. He's discovered comet dust trails, identified banks of interplanetary dust arising from asteroid collisions, and he's determined the temperature of Pluto, which I hope is cooler than what it's been in Tucson like last week. I mean, it's nice
just
today.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Hey, how are you, sir?
Good, good.
Yeah, in front of me is this really cool picture of an asteroid.
Yes, this is the asteroid Ryugu, which the Japanese have sent a spacecraft to. It's about 5 kilometers away right now, and that spacecraft called Hayabusa 2. Hayabusa 2 is going to grab some material from its surface and bring it back to Earth. In fact, it's going to grab in two places. They've got a lot of really interesting, they're going to let some little rovers down, a couple rovers down on the surface, which will bounce around.
Rover on an asteroid?
A rover on a tiny asteroid that's only a kilometer in size.
How in the world?
And and it's also going to fire an explosive projectile at it to blow up, this is way too much fun, create a fresh crater on its surface while the spacecraft goes around to the other side to hide from the debris, and then it will come back and it will grab some material from the interior of that crater, so to look for fresh stuff, underneath the surface. This object looks like a top. It looks like a child's toy spinning top.
Yeah, it does.
It's not round like we used to think. You usually think of things in space.
Four-sided.
Yeah, if you look at it like pole to pole and take a slice through it, you get kind of a rectangle on its side. If you take a slice through its equator, you get a circle. Mm-hmm. And you, as you go to higher latitudes, you get a circle. So it's shaped like a top. When we see boulders on its surface and everything, and the reason is for that, it's basically a rubble pile of debris, which has been spinning, and that spinning causes the stuff to go out towards the center and causes that little bulge out there in the center, making it look not like objects we're used to looking at. So it's very cool.
It's not that far from home here, is it?
No, it's I don't have it.
Well, you don't need to give me the exact
distance right now, but it's a near-Earth asteroid.
Near Earth.
So it spends time also, within the vicinity, within about, a couple-tenths of an AU of the Earth, between Mars and the Earth, or even interior of the Earth's orbit for some of these guys. But it's very easy to get to, which is why the Japanese chose this target. It was easy to get to, didn't take that long. Plus, it's carbonaceous. It's made out of primitive material from the early part of the solar system, some of which has been hydrated, which was a discovery made by one of our scientists, Faith Vilas, that drove their decision to choose that asteroid as a target. And we've got four people.
So one of your scientists was instrumental on why the Japanese chose this particular target.
Yes, yes.
Huh.
And Faith Vilas, and she's the person who actually, as a graduate student back in the old days here at the University of Arizona, she discovered this feature in the spectra of dark asteroids. I call it the Faith feature that indicates hydrated materials. You know, there materials that have been altered by water. Then we've got two scientists who are working over there right now with the Japanese science team. On the mission and studying the surface to help decide where to go down and grab stuff. And we have two other scientists stateside who are actually they're also on OSIRIS-REx, and they're using the software that was developed by one of them called stereophotoclinometry, which is a mouthful.
Wow.
Which enables you to take lots of pictures of something from a spacecraft and determine its precise shape, even to the boulders and stuff.
This detail on this photograph is just amazing.
But and when they create a model, it'll look like that. But it also gives you, as part of the solution, the spacecraft position and orientation. So you can actually improve over the normal methods using radio signals and stuff on where the spacecraft is, and that's going to be an important part for the OSIRIS-REx mission, and they're testing it all out on the Hayabusa 2 mission, so they're helping the Japanese with the with spacecraft operations.
Is it safe to say that the material is kind of from the building blocks of our solar system?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the kind of the driving force here about why this particular object is important.
Yes. Yes, it'll tell us about material from the early solar system, some of the processes that were occurring there, where things were getting warmed up so that water would mobilize and combine with minerals around it, and it's a fascinating object, and it's going to be bringing material back. Let's see here. I think they're going to be there for about a year or so.
It's not that expensive a mission in terms of...
I don't
want to say it's being done on the cheap, but it's certainly within budget for the Japanese Space Agency.
You know, it's remarkable that they're able to do... Now, of course, they're taking a little more risk, but you know, what the heck? Mm-hmm. And so they are... they're planning to return this sample by 2020. So in just a year and a half or so, and they succeeded in Hayabusa 1 to bring the first sample back from a near-Earth object. It was dust, but it was valuable, and we learned a lot from it. And now the second spacecraft, doing all this amazing stuff with little rovers on the surface, with blowing up a crater. taking samples from different parts of the surface to bring back, it's going to be, it's from a scientific standpoint and understanding, you know, where we live, it'll be quite a great thing. And yeah, they've done it for a lot less than we would do it, and more power to them.
What is their space agency like? I mean, do they have the Japanese have a robust space program?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as big as ours.
No,
but they're scrappy, and they've had some successful missions like Kaguya to the moon, which mapped out the entire surface at a resolution of 9 meters.
Wow.
So very detailed maps. Their Hayabusa they made 3 movies about the first Hayabusa spacecraft. You know, it was very popular because when they came back, it was like on fumes. They had to kind of use the solar panels to pick up pressure from the solar solar radiation to help push them back, and it was quite a feat. That they managed to bring Olympic spacecraft back to Earth, and so I admire them. I think they're great to work with. I've been over there, and all of our people who are currently working with them are expressing that it's a good group of people to work with, and it's a very exciting mission.
Now, here's the question to throw you off. What does Hayabusa mean?
Oh, man. You know,
I had to do that
you
right?
You did, and it's something that I should have looked. I think it means hawk.
Hawk? Well, why don't we save that for the next visit, and then we will...
Nobody's on the phone, so I can't be corrected.
No, so I will... I will ask you that during our monthly visit, which will be coming up in August. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
PSI.org.
Yep. Got no. It. PSI.edu.
Oh, my God. You'd think I'd get that right after all these years.
Yeah.
EDU, PSI, Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson, .edu. Right. And why it became EDU, maybe because it was like an educational thing.
Now, it was before my time, and EDU, I think, was popular at the very beginning. And so
then it became...
Now it's more regulated stuff.
All right. Well, whatever. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check, Mike Shaw, and Ray Allen together. We'll do it from 4 to 6, and hopefully they'll have some rain to tell us about. Well, we don't want too much rain in some of those areas that almost got flooded, that actually had some flooding up in Oro Valley and Marana. All right, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, and then meet Bill Buckmaster with you at 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.